It's now 18 minutes to nine. Let's turn straight to the health report and Norman Swan. Good morning, Norman.
Good morning, Ellen.
Let's talk health matters, efficiency in healthcare. What do you say on that point that if you're going to have a GP co-payment, it stands to reason you'll have to have a co-payment at hospital emergency departments, otherwise the patients will all head over to the hospital to avoid a co-payment. Doesn't that stand to reason, as Alison says?
Well, it's what the states are frightened of. The states don't like this co-payment idea at all. And so they're worried that people are going to shift to, as you say, the emergency department for their primary health care, for the care that they should be getting for the GP. That's already happening to some extent, probably not as much as people think, but it's certainly happening to some extent and could well happen more. And some states, states will be reluctant to put on that co-payment. It's an administrative nightmare, apart from anything. And that's not the core problem. This co-payment is a distraction from what is the core issue in the healthcare system, which is actually making it efficient. There are lots of people coming into hospital, which isn't for entirely avoidable reasons. If they saw their GP and got proper and well-coordinated and integrated care in primary care, and putting a co-payment there for the people, and these are the people who actually have the least ability to pay the co-payment and therefore are going to be most discouraged, and therefore you're putting a very significant barrier to rational care in the community for those who need it most. You and I will pay our co-pay, but people who can't afford it, who have high burdens of illness and are paying a lot for their care, won't, and they will end up in the system, and this will cost the system a fortune. And remember, the federal government's committed to paying 45% of the increased costs in the system according to a nationally defined price, and so the federal taxpayers will pay for it as well, and we'll all pay for it in the end. So just going on the evidence rather than politics and ideology here, the evidence would suggest that this is not a rational policy for controlling healthcare costs and waste in the system, which you and I have spoken about before.
And you mean not rational, the GP co-payment and the knock-on effect of potentially a co-payment at hospital, things?
Well, the GP co-payment, you actually want to remove barriers for people getting integrated, coordinated care in general practice. And people who, as I say, it's people like you and I will pay the co-pay. We're probably already paying the co-pay because we're probably not going to GPs who bulk bill. But for people who need integrated primary care from multidisciplinary teams, they are people who probably can't afford it. They're elderly, they're on pensions, and it's not people. The people who are sickest in the Australian healthcare system underutilize Australian healthcare. This is something people don't get. You and I overutilize. When I say you and I, in general, people who are middle class, well educated, got lots of money in the pockets, we overutilize healthcare. We get healthcare we don't need. Whereas people who are sick and elderly, relatively speaking, underutilize the system. And those are the people who actually end up in hospital unnecessarily and cost the nation a fortune and them and their families. And that's the problem with the copay. And no matter, and it depends on how blunt a tool it's going to be. And it's just not a rational policy for where the big money is wasted in healthcare.
And looking internationally, who gets the biggest bang for their health spending buck and the smallest? And where's Australia in all that?
Well, that's what I've got on tonight's health report. Fascinating story. So a study of the 27 OECD countries looking at the bang for buck in terms of increased life expectancy for dollars spent, controlling for a lot of the other factors that influence life expectancy, like income, like smoking rates, education. So education is a very potent factor in increasing life expectancy. Controlling for all those factors. So how many months extra life do you get per added $100 of spending on healthcare? Mm. Germany and Switzerland come out on top at about 2.2, come out on top with 4 or 5 months of extra life expectancy. And we're around the middle, about 10th, along with Canada, and we get about 2.2 months, I think, on average compared to that. So we're less efficient than Germany and Switzerland, but still a lot more efficient than the United States, which is right at the bottom, which gets almost no extra life expectancy for every dollar, $100 spent on healthcare. And the other fascinating thing this study's done is they looked at the difference in efficiency in health spending between men and women. Mm. And in terms of increased life expectancy, men get more benefit from added health dollars than women. In fact, almost double.
Okay, and you're also looking at heart attacks. It seems there's not a gender differential there as we previously thought.
Well, not as much of a gender differential. So it used to be thought that women don't get typical chest pain, that they get unusual symptoms to making them present at the emergency department. A study done in Canada has shown that, in fact, that's a bit of a myth. 80% of women do get traditional chest pain. And even when they're quite young, under 50, the most dominant cause of a heart attack is still in that group of women and indeed men under 50, traditional lifestyle factors rather than genetics. And but interestingly, there were 20% of women, there were 20% of women who didn't get very many symptoms at all, but there were also about 10% of men who didn't get very many symptoms at all. So it's not that different between men and women in terms of their heart attacks. The main difference in women is that they get to the hospital later.
Yes, they press on, they soldier on.
Well, that's right, they sort out, well, he was going to look after the kids, yes. You know, sort of dinner in the car, you know, then I'll phone for the ambulance.
Right. There's a message in that for all of us. Thank you, Norman.
You're welcome.
Dr. Norman Swan and the full story on the RN Health Report at 5:30 this afternoon. It's now 13 minutes to 9.